Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
And I'm Anish Gupta.
And it's been an interesting week of football, and kind of the end headline was Carson Wentz was traded to the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously a huge trade, one we've kind of been waiting for. Anish, I'm not sure this is what you expected when you picked him to win MVP earlier this year. And, that whole offseason campaign of loving on Carson Wentz, but I'm sure you did not expect him here, but I know it must make you happy. What are your initial thoughts for this Carson Wentz trade?
So as I think, you know, I've done a lot of football takes these last few years, and this one is probably the biggest stain on my kind of football acumen. But, Carson Wentz, I've taken a lot of heat for it, believe me. But when I found out the news, it was like 9 a.m. our time, I was going berserk. I was so happy. I wanted him in Indianapolis because everyone knew it. Also, like, you know, everyone that's more than a casual football fan knew that Frank Reich and Carson Wentz Frank Reich was behind Carson Wentz's success in 2017. Obviously, he threw for 33 touchdowns, only had 7 interceptions, led the league in QBR, and he was tremendous that season. He had an 11-2 record, obviously tore his ACL against the LA Rams, but they won the Super Bowl that year. So, you know, Carson Wentz, every year, it was something different. So, like, obviously, 2017, he had the amazing regular season, but then Nick Foles comes in and carries them to a championship. Then 2018, he goes 5-7, injures his back, and then Nick Foles comes in, wins the last 4 games, and wins a playoff game. So, you know, there was always a QB controversy, and the one year he didn't have a QB controversy, it was his first 4,000-yard season, 27 touchdowns, only 7 picks, and he took a team of practice squad wide receivers with Greg Ward being his best guy. Keep in mind, Greg Ward was a quarterback before the year had started. So he took a team of those guys to the playoffs and beat a stacked Dallas team to win the division. So with that in mind, coming into this year, I thought, okay, give him some help. And, you know, Brandon Brooks was coming back. This was before the injury that when I made the take, you know, Brandon Brooks was there, Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, all these guys. And, Zach Ertz was coming back. I was like, okay, you know, this could be the year where he puts it all together again. And no, that did not happen. He got sacked 50 times, and that still led the league. He was on pace for being sacked the 4th most in NFL history. But obviously enough about his past, I think. And, well, there was a QB controversy again with Jalen Hurts. So I think finally, you know, my initial thoughts was he's finally getting a team that believes in him. That is what I wanted. I wanted a team to believe in Carson Wentz. Obviously, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks. So, you know, I dug a lot into this trade. And it was a 3rd-round pick and a 2nd-round pick next year. But obviously the 2nd-round pick can become a 1st-round pick if he makes the playoffs and takes 75% of the snaps.
I believe it's really, if he takes 75% of the snaps, then it's a first. Or if he takes, I think, 70% but also makes the playoffs. I think that's what I heard.
So those are the two conditions for it to be a 1st-round pick for the Eagles. I think my initial thoughts for the Colts is you got a guy. Like, you know, there was questions of Jacoby Brissett, maybe. Was it, you know, you get someone in the draft? You know, I actually made a video on if Justin Fields, they should trade up for him. This was a few months back, but, you know, a lot of questions there, but I think they got their guy. They finally have someone they can have faith in, especially Frank Reich. I think he thought that he can fix Carson Wentz because, again, it's all about what's in between the two ears. It's all a mental game for him, and he needs to get his confidence back because he's very talented. People say it's ever since the torn ACL, he hasn't been the same, but 2019 was after the ACL and he had a good year. So, you know, I don't think it's just the ACL. I think it's a little bit of the mental aspect. You know, he lost confidence in the team and the team lost confidence in him, but obviously the Colts have some confidence in him. That's why you trade for a guy, and that bodes well for Wentz. Now for the Eagles, I feel like you could have, if you had played hardball, I think you really could have gotten a 1st-round pick. I'm still in the belief of that. But, you know, they take a huge dead cap hit next year. And I'll actually pin this on you, Jack. Do you think the Eagles right now are the worst or like on the worst trajectory in the entire NFC?
See, before you mentioned NFC, I was like, oh, hell no. I think that the Houston Texans are obviously
on a worse trajectory. Yeah, exactly. That's why I threw NFC at you.
I actually like this trade for the Eagles. I mean, think about it. They just traded their backup quarterback. And sure, they're going to take a dead cap hit. They traded their backup quarterback, got a 3rd-rounder this year, and what honestly will probably be a 1st-rounder next year. Obviously, you know, things aren't completely solid. Obviously, Carson Wentz has had some injuries before, so it's not 100%. But they traded a backup quarterback who probably wasn't going to play this year because they like Jalen Hurts more, and they haven't liked Carson Wentz for a while. I saw that for about like 6 weeks or so, he wasn't even talking to Doug Peterson. So it's they traded their backup quarterback for two picks, two, you know, high picks that can be very valuable in the draft. And yeah, they're going to take a dead cap hit, but that's okay. I mean, they still in the NFC East, they can still compete this year, even with that dead cap hit. So, you know, I do like this trade. I don't think it harms them in the future. I think it actually really helps their future because they were going to go with Jalen Hurts anyway, or a quarterback right now at number six. So worst trajectory in the NFC, I'd say no. I don't know who I would go with there. I would say,
I mean,
a year ago I would have said Detroit, but now they've got some first round picks from the Rams. I mean, you know, that's a tough one. I don't know who I would go with there, but I definitely don't think it's the Eagles. You could even go with Dallas. I mean, there's a lot of other teams I would go with instead of the Eagles just because they have these picks now and because they were able to move on from Wentz, kind of get that out of there. But I think they're handling this situation. So I'll move it on. I like the trade for the Eagles, but I hate the way that they're now handling the situation. Yep. We talked in the last podcast episode about no matter what they do, put confidence in the quarterback that is there without, you know, introducing competition. Exactly. We talked about examples. You can go check the last podcast episode if you want to check that out. We'll put the link in the description for that one. But it's just now they're talking about, you know, possibly drafting a quarterback to introduce some competition. And it's just you're running into the same problem.
It's this, over, like I said, it's a cycle. This is why I think they're on a terrible trajectory. It's a poor run franchise. I mean, aside from the one ring. I mean, really, like, you know, they've been to the playoffs many times. They constantly choke. Look, this is you have to put faith in your quarterback. Simple as that.
Yep.
Right. So the 1 year that they said when they traded Nick Foles to the Jaguars, the 1 year they said, OK, Wentz, this is your team. No one else is there. We are trusting you. He takes them to the playoffs. Jalen Hurts had some flashes. He beat the Saints when they were the one seed. He had some flashes this year. He played really well against the Cardinals. I'll leave that to the side, though. He showed you flashes of potentially being a franchise guy. And you sit up here and say, we're not going to commit to him. We're going to have a QB competition. Well, if you trade the backup, which is Wentz, you're supposed to say, hey, Hurts, you are our guy. Let's ride with you. That's the message you're supposed to send. And that gives him – and you know what would have been even better? If they had said that, that would have completely overridden what happened week 17. We all remember they put in Nate Sudfeld for no reason. And that caused a huge controversy of, are they intentionally tanking? So what they had done, they had fired Doug Peterson. So you got rid of the guy that did it. And then if you take away Carson Wentz, that basically ends it. But now, you know, Nick Sirianni and all these guys, right? The coaches aren't fully committed on Hurts. What is he supposed to think? If you get one guy out, are you trying to get another guy in via the draft? I mean, the sixth pick, you can get a good quarterback there. Justin Fields could be there. I mean, you know, Trey Lance, maybe Zach Wilson, who knows? But if there is a guy there, if I'm the Eagles, you know, I mean, this is the same thing. We all thought Justin Jefferson was going to Philly. And then, you know, they take Jalen Reagor. But I think, you know, Philly should take Ja'Marr Chase, and we'll give you some more draft content coming out. But, if you want to look, there's a Devontae Smith versus Ja'Marr Chase video. We'll probably leave that in the description as well. But, you know, I think the Eagles should go receiver. But, hey, if they go with a quarterback, this causes a lot more controversy again. And those are two guys who were picked high in the draft that you have to only start one. So one of them is basically not, you know, putting any value for you. And obviously that $34 million dollars in cap hit. It is the highest in NFL history at this point. You know, it's obviously only for 1 year, so it's not the end of the world, but that's like 20% of their entire cap going to a guy that is playing for an AFC team that gave the Bills a run for their money. Now, I will say this. I think with this trade, this is probably Carson Wentz's best supporting cast, and I'm including 2017. I would argue it.
Yeah,
because I think this offensive line is younger than the one he had in 2017. I think this receiving core is also younger. Now, granted, he had Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, Nelson Aguilar had a good year that year. But I think, you know, I'm banking on a Michael Pittman breakout year. This dude has been terrific. I mean, I think he had 502 yards his first year, but he had some, he again showed some flashes in the playoff game. he was getting open. They just didn't target him in the second half, like you told me. And T.Y. Hilton, again, ever since that Packers game, he had 81 yards one game, 110 yards. You know, he went over 70 yards or had a touchdown in four of the last five games. So he was pretty serviceable as well. So, you know, those are some good guys that you can have. And not to mention the running back situation, Jonathan Taylor is one of my breakout candidates for next year, yeah. if he hasn't already broken out. I mean, this dude had 253 yards in his final regular season game. It only, you know, didn't get as portrayed in the media because Derrick Henry hit 2,000 yards in that same game. But, you know, Jonathan Taylor is a beast. And, you know, you can't ignore the fact that they have Nyheim Hines. Also Marlon Mack is coming back, but they'll probably let him go. But you know, yeah. Again, they still have some good running backs on the table, and that defense, all three facets, you know, defensive line led by DeForest Buckner, linebacking core led by Darius Leonard. And that secondary, it's got some good pieces with Xavier Rhodes having a bounce back year. So this team, I'll ask you this now. Do you think the Colts are a top three team in the AFC?
I do. I'm not a huge believer in Carson Wentz. I believed in him somewhat coming into the year. Like I was like, oh, you know, I'm not buying everything you say, but I still think he could be mm-hmm. good. And just kind of seeing what happened to him last year and kind of looking into a deeper dive, I saw a post on Instagram about how his 2017 was actually really lucky. And you know, they had a lot of points to say. There was I don't remember the exact name of the account. I wish I could say it so I could shout it out, but they're kind of more of the statistical analysis, like deep stats, mm-hmm. looking into that stuff. And honestly, they made some great points and you know, that's influencing me a little bit, but also a player that lost his confidence that much. Yeah. It's going to be a gradual buildup. It's not like Frank Reich and Indianapolis showing, you know, that they want to trade for him is going to make his confidence go right back to where it was. It's going to be gradual. It'll take a year or two. But I do believe that is he better than Philip Rivers? Like, is he better than what Philip Rivers did yeah, this year?
That's the question. Right? So like people are saying, you know, what level are you getting? Obviously you're not going to get the Peyton. So for Colts fans, you're not going to get Peyton Manning.
No,
you're not even going to get Andrew Luck, in my opinion.
No,
but will you get more than Philip Rivers? I think that's the
big question. I think you'll get about the same as you got from Philip. I think you'll maybe get more like output, but also a little bit more like turnover worthy plays and stuff like that than you would from Philip Rivers. So a little bit more boom, a little bit more bust, but also I would say that yes, they are a top three team. I think they slide in right above the Ravens now for number three. The Browns are good too, though.
So you got obviously the Chiefs and the Bills, and then I would say the Colts three, and then maybe Cleveland or Baltimore.
I'm gonna tie him with the Browns. I'll say like tied with the Browns just because their defense is better. I think the Browns offense will be better, but the Colts defense is a little bit better. So I'll tie him there at three with the Browns. But I think this team, the Colts team in general, and all the weapons that you talked about in the defense, they're gonna progress too. So, like, I think that they were primed to, no matter what, kind of get up to that level. And so Carson Wentz obviously helps. He's better than Jacob Eason, or Jacoby Brissett, yeah. who might have started. And I love Sam Darnold, but he's better than Sam Darnold. I think they're going to move up to that level. We'll see kind of how it shakes out. And, look, they could win a Super Bowl. We don't know. If depending on the Carson Wentz they get, they could be the Super Bowl favorites. I mean,
well, there are two things that I kind of wanted to end up with.
Yeah.
One is I think his confidence can be fixed. Oh, think about it. There's still 7 months before the season starts. And one comp I want to actually make is Baker Mayfield, because he had the down year, right? The sophomore slump. Everyone lost faith in him.
Yeah.
He was ridiculed, but he got a new offensive coordinator and he got a guy that believed in him and Kevin Stefanski. The first thing Kevin Stefanski, when he came in March, he was asked, is Baker Mayfield a guy? Same thing with Andrew Berry, the GM. Was Baker Mayfield a guy? And both of them said they were going to commit to him.
Yeah.
Alex Van Pelt, our offensive coordinator, helped with his footwork. And literally within 7 months, you know, obviously it took a little bit some time in the regular season, but he became a lot better.
And right? The O-line.
I think we can all agree.
Can't forget about that.
Yeah. So yeah, the O-line developed, and what is Carson Wentz going into? A lot better of an O-line. So I think with a guy that believes in him, he has 7 months to fix those mechanics. And I'm sure there will be some OTAs in preseason, obviously barring anything major with COVID. I think there will be more, you know, off-season preparations, you know, rather than being blindsided last year. I think it's going to be a lot easier for Carson Wentz to get more acclimated to the Colts. And I will say the second thing too, is with the Indianapolis Colts, can he win a Super Bowl? Well, the first thing is, how is he going to perform in the playoffs? Because he hasn't played in a playoff game. Like, his playoff resume is 1 for 4 for 3 yards. Or is it 1 for 3 for 4 yards? One of those two. But, like, he just hasn't been available for it. You know, his team has made the playoffs 3 of the 5 years he was there. but he just wasn't available to play in it. So we just don't know what we're going to get from him. And that's a big thing, right? Are you going to get the Carson Wentz that we saw in 2017, or are we going to get the other 4 years of Carson Wentz? And that's what is kind of concerning for me. I still believe in my guy. I think, you know, his mechanics, they're not as poised as the next guy, but he is one of those guys that off script plays. He's one of the few guys that can make an off script play work. And I think, you know, a team like the Colts, it doesn't have to be that methodical. And I think a guy that can go off script can get you over the top.
I think the problem with him is because of A, what he dealt with in Philly, but also kind of is this mentality. He went off script too much, like A, because he was forced to, but B, because he was just like trying to play hero ball a lot. So he went off script a little bit too much, but with the stability of the Colts offensive line and the weapons they have there, he won't have to go off script as much, which I think that also makes him better and more dangerous when those off script plays end up happening. So it's all, we're going to find out. I mean, we're going to find out, and I can't wait to kind of see it, whether it's good or bad. For those of you who are watching this on YouTube after we release this podcast episode, I want you to let us know down in the comment section, who won this trade in your opinion? Do you think the Colts won this trade? And do you think the Eagles won this trade? I think it goes either way. Honestly, I would say it was a tie just because they both got what they were looking for. And I thought the Eagles, you know, did a good job just getting rid of him, which is what they were trying to do. And then also I want to let you, or down in the comment section, let us know, do you think that Carson Wentz will succeed with the Colts? Like, will this go in their favor next season when we see it? Obviously, we don't know yet.
How far will the Colts go next year?
How far will they go? Like, let us know down in the comment section. Answer those questions for us. We really want to know. But, you know, I'm very excited to see Carson Wentz on the Colts. I'm excited for the Colts for getting their guy. I'm excited for the Eagles. We're going to see them have a couple draft picks, see what they do with Jalen Hurts. This kind of is setting off that quarterback, carousel that we're going to get to see over these next couple weeks and months. So it'll be really exciting. Excited to see what Carson Wentz can do and what the Eagles and the Colts can do. But great trade. I think it's time to move on to our next thing, though. We're talking about another quarterback who actually possibly might get traded. He's been involved in trade rumors before, and that's Kirk Cousins of the Minnesota Vikings. I'll let you guys on Instagram pick a podcast topic for today's episode. And, you know, someone said it out, what should the Vikings do with Kirk Cousins? And that's a great question. So Anish, I'll hand it off to you. Do you trade him? Do you trust him? Do you let his contract run out? What do the Vikings do with Kirk Cousins?
So I actually someone just sent me a Vikings post earlier today. And it basically stated that Kirk Cousins has the most touchdown passes in 2020 within the 3-point margin in the second half. I know that was a little bit of a weird stat, but he has 7 touchdown passes in the 2020 season, second half, when trailing by 3 or less. So, you know, the whole notion of him being a garbage time quarterback is a little bit exaggerated. And I think, you know, I did a little bit of research with him when comparing Kyle Trask to him when I did my Kyle Trask scouting report. And Kirk Cousins is a really he's like the definition of solid. Like, he's not bad, but he's not great. Like, when I watch him, there's nothing that screams, oh, game changer. There's nothing that screams elite. But what he does do is he does get the job done, and he has shown he can win games. But the thing with the Vikings is, how far do you want to go? The Vikings have been stuck in mediocrity for so long. Obviously, they had that one spurt since 1998, which was since 2009, since Favre left, which was the NFC Championship with Case Keenum. But, you know, since then, and just even throughout the last 10 years, it's just been mediocrity for them. You know, maybe a couple playoff wins here and there, but they just never scared you as an NFC contender. And I think, you know, they've been flip-flopping. Every Vikings fan has told me that, you know, oh, we're going to get some pieces on the D-line back. But how does that affect your offense? Because there are times where the offense sputters. And I think Kirk Cousins with, you know, he's always had the weapons in Minnesota. He's had 2 great receivers. He's had Dalvin Cook for the entire minute of Minnesota career. His offensive line has been shaky. I will give you that. But really, I think if I'm the Vikings, I think there's a couple years left on his guaranteed deal. I think this is the year. This is the make or break year because, you know, there are pieces. And I think the NFC it's pretty open. It's as open as it'll ever be because, you know, the Bucks, you could argue, right, are the clear cuts, but, you know, there's the Rams with Stafford. How are they going to do? The Saints are obviously on the decline. The Seahawks, what are they doing? So they're all kind of, you know, up and down in the NFC. And if I'm Minnesota, I take this opportunity. I see what I can do with Kirk Cousins, because really, if you try and trade him, there's not many guys that would go after him with, you know, Dak and Deshaun Watson potentially on the market. So if I am the Vikings, I stick with him one more year. I give him that chance, you know, with everyone coming back. I would invest in the O-line, give him the pieces, see what he can do. And this would be the make or break year.
I think, you know, when considering this question, the Vikings have to look inward and answer two questions. A, and Anish, you be the Vikings in this scenario. A, are you going to, or like, are you built to win a Super Bowl right now?
No.
I think no. And B, could Kirk Cousins win a Super Bowl? I also think no.
I also think no.
So yeah. Then at that point, then that brings up certain, you know, different scenarios and in ways you look at it. Are you trading Kirk Cousins to start a rebuild? Sure, that makes sense. But if you're trading Kirk Cousins to, you know, get a new quarterback that can bring you to a Super Bowl right now, that's not going to happen because they're not built to get a Super Bowl. Right? Yeah. I mean, if it was one of the two yeses, then it makes some sense. But like, I don't think they're built to win a Super Bowl. So it doesn't make sense trading Kirk Cousins to, you know, get further to that. If they want to rebuild, that's fine. But they're kind of like, they're in that limbo where they're not good enough, but they're also not bad enough to make any drastic decisions.
Yeah. See, again, it's that mediocre. It's so with the NFL teams, right? I think coming into the year, I said, coming into 2020, I thought there were, I think, 28 out of the 32 teams that could rise up, rise down, or kind of stay the same. The Vikings kind of rose down a little bit, but it was due to injuries. But right now, I think they're just in that mediocrity bubble, right? You know, with teams like the Raiders,
the Bears.
You know, I'd say Bears, I mean, I guess. Yeah, that's probably where that's their tier right now, I would argue, right? Like, they just haven't shown me that they can take it a step further or even a step back. Like, they're not doing anything that's saying, oh, they're not going to be good next year. You know, because what are you banking on if you're Minnesota? How much can you really invest in the lines of scrimmage in 1 year? Because again, it's not a big marketplace. Again, Brady effect is different. That was a very anomalous type of situation. So it's like no one in Minnesota is, you know, attracting free agents to go there. So their lines of scrimmage, yes, you're going to invest in it, but how much better can it get in a year? That is my question. They are still both lines of scrimmage away from, you know, where they want to be. And as I've said plenty of times on the podcast, you need to be dominant on both lines if you want to get to the top, and they just aren't. So, you know, but they're not bad. That's the problem. Like
that's the big problem, is they're not bad enough to scrap it, and they're not good enough to make one more move.
You just got to wait and let him go, because you can't, even if you trade him, you're not going to get much for him. No one's going to offer you what you want for Kirk Cousins, despite the fact that he's, you know, an unquestioned top 15 quarterback. So he's unquestionably above average. And again, like I said, the word for it is solid. Like,
he's not going to get any better. I mean, at this point in a quarterback's career, they don't improve. And he's not at that type where he's got a ton of potential and he's just going to win you some games. Like, he's going to get you to the playoffs, and that's what he'll do. And for some teams, that's enough. But I'm of the belief that you shouldn't invest in a quarterback unless you think they can win you a Super Bowl. And
I think context, though. So Minnesota at the time, 2018, makes sense. Fine. Okay. Obviously the contract was a little bit off because it was fully guaranteed, but
there was potential.
They just come off an NFC champ. Yeah. They just come off an NFC championship, and people were saying, okay, Case Keenum is kind of a fluke. So, you know, they were a quote unquote quarterback away. So, okay, fine. Maybe you put the pieces there, but the extension was very questionable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to get you to where you need to be.
Nope.
That has been my one knock on Kirk Cousins. You know, it's not even the whole Monday Night Football thing or the big game argument, because I think he squashed that with the win over the Saints. He was terrific in that game, in the playoff win, obviously.
Yeah.
So I think he squashed that notion. My thing is just, he can't get you to where you want to be. Nope. That is my only knock on him. It's not, you know, no hate, just that is, you know, how I see it.
Yeah. So to kind of like answer the final question of what should the Vikings do with Kirk Cousins? Nothing. That'd be my answer. Nothing. Let him ride his contract out. But in the meantime, begin that, like, not a full rebuild where you tear everything down and then start to like rebuild things up, but, you know, trim the fat in certain places, get a little bit younger, get some youth talent, You know, you're not going to build around Kirk Cousins right now. You build a foundation so that in the next 1 or 2 years, you take that quarterback that you need to replace Kirk Cousins, and then you let him go. And by that time, it's like, I feel like it's a lot like – it could be a lot like Alex Smith and the Chiefs, to be honest. I feel like when Alex Smith was with the Chiefs, he was just – he was that guy that was going to win you some games. He wasn't going to get you where you wanted to go, though.
Yep.
So they took the Patrick Mahomes, and they had previous years built around. They got Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and I guess the year before.
That's what they're doing right now. I mean, right? Justin Jefferson, Thielen, Dalvin Cook. Like, they're building pieces. And I'm not going to say they're a quarterback away right now, but a couple years down the line, that's I think it was a perfect comparison. Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith, both really efficient, right? They're not going to, you know, give you mind-boggling stats. You know, you could throw them in that top 10 to 12 conversation, but, you know, not nowhere near where, you know, you want for your team, you know, a quote unquote franchise game changer.
No, he's just not that. Yeah. So if you're the Vikings, or if I'm the Vikings, you keep Kirk Cousins, you just let him, you write out the contract, but you begin rebuilding and you begin thinking about and putting pieces in place to bring in that next quarterback. And to be honest, now that I'm thinking about it, there are a lot of parallels with, you know, the Chiefs, obviously not the same coaching staff or I still don't think they're as good on the defense. Is interesting because Danielle Hunter is really good. He's obviously there. He would be their Chris Jones in this scenario.
It's going to develop, though. That second,
they need to get younger. That's one thing for sure. They need to get younger. And obviously they have a lot of young talent on the defense, but they weren't very good last year and we don't know what to expect from them, but they need to start just kind of that half rebuild thing where they're not tearing everything down. They're just kind of trimming little pieces, trimming the fat, and then rebuilding.
And then one thing too, would, you know, you could say a parallel, you know, the Broncos kind of ran the AFC West, you know, early 2010s because of Peyton Manning. Packers are running it, but 2 years down the line, when Aaron Rodgers is 39-40, NFC North could be wide open.
Yeah. We don't know anything about Jordan Love. I mean, Jordan Love, the Packers are depending on him. If he's bad, the Packers, they take a big dip, but if he's good, they continue to run that division. So
exactly. So that's a wild card there. So if I'm the Vikings, that's when, okay, you might trade up for a guy like the Chiefs did and really stick it in and say, okay, the NFC North is ours now.
Yeah. Another reason not to do anything with Kirk now, because they're not winning the NFC North while Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay. So, you know, there's a lot of questions, and we thank you for sending in the submission, but what the Vikings should do with Kirk Cousins right now, we believe, is nothing. But let's move on. Recently, we've had all this craziness with the stock market and all the stuff going on with the GameStop stocks. And you're more of that person than I am, Anish.
Yes.
I know that's kind of the stuff you're looking into. But we had this idea of the NFL stock market, the NFL stock exchange. You know, what players that, you know, if you're going to invest and you see a GameStop and you're like, that's going to go up. Like, what we're kind of thinking, like, what players match that role? So we picked five players today that we're going to go over, and each I'll bring them up, and we talk about whether you're going to invest in this player or you're going to stay away. Like, do you think their stock is going to rise over time, especially this year, or is it going to fall? So the first player we're going to talk about in this NFL stock market little debate is Joe Burrow. So you're walking up, you got your NFL dollars in hand. Are you investing in Joe Burrow right now, or are you staying away?
So, you know, every quote unquote stock has their pros and cons. Now, with Joe Burrow, what we saw was when he came in and when he played was top 10 potential. I think all of us can agree. And, you know, he didn't really have any drawbacks. He didn't turn the ball over a lot. You know, and again, the turning point for me was when I watched him for a first primetime game against my Browns. You know, 5 for 5 on fourth down. He threw for like 370 yards. He was just amazing. And I think, you know, you know, the ACL is the one drawback, though, right? And the offensive line, how much better can it get in a year? With that being said, I'm still going to invest. I'm going to invest, you know, I'm not going to put the whole house on. I'm not going to put like, you know, 10,000 shares in him, but I'll put a little bit in it. You know what I mean? Like just a little bit, because I think his stock will rise next year. I'm not going to put, you know, again, like I said, I'm not going to say he's going to jump skyrocket or whatever, but coming back again, you know, we've seen ACL treatment vastly improve over the last 10 years, and a lot of people have recovered from ACL injuries. And just over time, you know, it's been a lot easier for quarterbacks to adjust. Now, Joe Burrow is not the most mobile quarterback, but he is mobile in the pocket. Like, he can move around, takes a lot of slides. So, you know, that'll take some getting used to. But again, he's got time to recover. So, you know, I believe he had the injury in November, if I'm not mistaken. And the season starts September. So he's got a full 11 months, and he's already been on track to recover. ACL usually takes 9 months now instead of 12. So he will probably recover, and I'm going to put stock in it just because I think the Bengals will invest in the line of scrimmage. I think they're going after Joe Tooney in the offseason. So hopefully if they get him, that's going to be a big help. Hopefully Jonah Williams can adjust to the movement on the line. And if they get Penei Sewell out of the draft, that could be something really big. So it's all what they do at number five. But despite all that, I'm still going to put stock in him because I think he could potentially, you know, push the Bengals over the Steelers. Maybe, I don't know. You know, could they be third team in that AFC North? I don't know. But I'm going to put stock in him because I think he still is the Bengals quarterback of the future.
Yeah, I kind of agree with a lot of stuff you said. I'm not going to, you know, put a ton of overwhelmingly like large shares into him. But, you know, I'll invest in him some because obviously he still has a ton of potential, was the first pick last year, and he did show a lot. I'm not sure he flashed out as much as we expected he would. I think Justin Herbert kind of stole the show a little bit, but he was still very good. And I think that the one drawback that you noted and another one I was thinking of, obviously the ACL, but also this division is ruthless. I mean, there's nowhere to go up. They're probably going to finish fourth in the division again. So it's, and then again, how do you measure success? Like, sure, even if he has a leap, if they're fourth in the division, is that like a ton of success? But so maybe not investing in him too much this year, but in the future, I mean, Joe Burrow is going to be good. I think we can kind of tell, as long as the injury isn't too bad, he's going to be a very good quarterback in this league. He's definitely has top 10 potential still, probably top five potential, honestly. And so, yeah, I'll invest him a little bit. Obviously, hopefully they can get Sewell or Slater. Obviously, I think they'll get one of the two. Depends on who they like and who gets taken in front of them, what Miami decides to do mostly. So they'll have that on the left side of the line. If they can get Joe Tooney or Brandon Scherff, that's two borderline elite possible potential linemen on their line, which is something they definitely didn't have this year. Jonah Williams is still there. We'll see what they do with the rest of the line. But and then the weapons. I mean, they're going to lose A.J. Green, but still they've got Tyler Boyd. T. Higgins looked like a bona fide star in his rookie year. Mixon is great and with a better offensive line would improve even more. They still need a tight end. I'm not sure they found their guy yet, but then I'm going to invest in, but also I'm a little bit questioning, you know, Zach Taylor as the offensive coach as the head coach. A lot of people have questions about him. I'm giving him one more year. I didn't want to overreact to what they have, but one more year.
So I'll ask you two things. You know, how do you think, you know, if he leaps, can the Bengals leap with him next year? And, you know, how long would it take for them to really take that step forward?
I mean, if they leap this year, they're going to finish third in the division. Like that's about as far as I think.
But we've seen second year quarterbacks, you know, and also like, sorry to bank off that, you know, what's his comeback with player of the year chances, you know, to bank off
it. Comeback player of the year. I think that's very likely. I want to talk about this in a future podcast episode, but the comeback player of the year race next year is going to be insane. Just think about how many players got injured this year and just realize that then they're all competing for the same award. Like, just to name a few, Saquon Barkley, Nick Bosa, Odell Beckham. We already talked about Joe Burrow, Kenny Galladay,
Derwin James,
so many players. So you know what, I think as a quarterback he obviously has the highest chance out of all those guys to win it, and I still think they can make a leap, but it's not going to be, I mean, we talk about the second year quarterbacks, Carson Wentz with the Eagles, who we talked about earlier in the episode, Patrick Mahomes, obviously, but like
Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray to an extent.
But those teams were all better coming into that year than the Cincinnati Bengals are now. And I don't think they were in as good of divisions as, you know, the Bengals are right now. So I still think they can make a leap. And like I said, I'll invest some shares into him. But to move on to our next player, a player that kind of ran the league a couple years ago at the running back position was considered maybe the top back in the league, and now it looks like he might lose his job. I mean, to a backup running back. And this is Ezekiel Elliott, one of the most polarizing players in the league. We still know there's that talent there. And as an OSU fan, Anisha, I'm very interested to see what you say.
Oh, man.
Do you are you going to put some shares into Ezekiel Elliott, or are you staying away? I want to know, you know, what you're thinking.
So, you know, Ezekiel Elliott is actually my all-time favorite Ohio State player because, you know, whoever's an OSU fan watching this, we all remember that 80-yard run against Alabama. But, you know, that number 15 jersey, I still have it with me. But I'm actually going to stay away. I actually think he's underrated coming into next year because, you know, I think the line will be better. And also, I think he was a little bit of injuries, but I think with Ezekiel Elliott, there's still some questions, right? You know, he really hasn't had a season of his rookie year, like that caliber. His rookie year, he was the best running back in the league. Like that was the best running back season of that season. Right. Yeah. 2016 hasn't really replicated that since 2017 game for game. He was, but then obviously the suspension happened, and 2018, 2019, 2020, I really haven't seen that, you know, that top five, top three running back, you know, argument that it was there for a really good amount of time. Was Ezekiel Elliott the, you know, top two running back in football? Now the question is he even a top 10 back, like top 8 to 10? I don't know. Like, so, you know, how much am I banking on next year? You know, they gave him 6 years, $90 million. He's not worth that. Nowhere close. And I just want, you know, Jack has been pointing this out and I have sided with him completely, but I will give him credit for this. The running back position is expendable. If you look at the last 10 Super Bowl winners, the highest paid salary for a running back is $1.5 million. This dude's on 15 mil. So, you know, but going back to, am I going to invest in his season next year? I'm going to stay away. Now, that doesn't mean he can't do better, because I think last year he really didn't do that well. He had some games that kind of saved him, but really it wasn't a good year. And I'm going to stay away simply for the fact that I don't know what I'm going to get. Also the quarterback position, which I think also really affects him. So I just, and I don't like him as a pass catcher. He really struggled with that. So I'm going to stay away.
Yeah, I think, I'm kind of known as the running back hater on this podcast. I really dislike putting any investment into the running back position, whether that's monetarily or draft pick wise. It's just not my thing. But I think Ezekiel Elliott, the problem with him is he's kind of like in that middle with running backs. The top running backs you see, they're kind of to one end or the other. They're that, you know, super elusive, they're quick, and they can catch passes, or they're the Derrick Henry type where they're just going to bowl you over and bully you.
Yep.
And Zeke is kind of right there in the middle. Like, he's not powerful enough to dominate you from quarter one to quarter four and run you over all the time, but he's not elusive and fast enough to kind of be shifty. On that.
He's not that. Yeah.
He's just like right there in the middle. And that's, I think the NFL is moving away from that. I mean, can you name me another running back like at the top of that list that's that hybrid kind of like right in the middle mix?
I mean, at the top, maybe Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs is on that Derrick Henry side. Like,
yeah, I would say that too.
Or at least farther to that side than Zeke is. So I just feel like NFL is moving away from kind of like what Zeke is, because they're kind of catching on to the fact that running back position is expendable. So they have, they just have two guys. They've got one guy that's the Derrick Henry type, and they've got one guy that's the Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, like that type.
Running back by committee. It's
running back by committee, and it works. Like, look at the Super Bowl this year. The Buccaneers are a perfect example of that. They had Leonard Fournette when they needed to bowl people over, and they needed someone to be fast. They had Ronald Jones.
Yep.
Look at last year a couple years ago, the Chiefs had a running back by committee. The Eagles, when they won, had a running back by committee. It's just
Niners when they won the NFC.
Yeah.
Even the Chiefs when they won the AFC. Like, you know, it's just the running back by committee. I'd say it works. You know, even with the Browns, a little bit different. But, you know, just having multiple running backs that are talented and that can, you know, you don't want to put wear and tear on running backs' legs. We've seen that with Todd Gurley. It's just not worth it,
not
because they deteriorate. Running back lives, unless you're Adrian Peterson, even him, like, you know, running back, quote unquote, primes are very, very short. So it's not worth the money. And I think Ezekiel Elliott, is he out of his prime?
I think he's definitely out of his prime. And so to get into the investment part, I'm staying far away from Ezekiel Elliott. Also because their offense, just with Mike McCarthy and the weapons they have at wide receiver and Dak Prescott, if he comes back, it's not built to hand the ball to Zeke as many times as he got it in his rookie year. And, you know, his legs aren't built like that anymore. And so I'm staying very far away. I'm not a big Zeke fan. I think he had a really bad year this year. I think Tony Pollard, like, you can make an argument that he's a better think you can make an argument he is a better thing for their future, but also just a better running back in general, because he's kind of more to that one side over here. And so I just don't think Zeke offers what today's NFL needs in a running back anymore. And I just don't think that he offers the Dallas Cowboys offense what they want. And so I was very confused when they paid him that much. I thought it was a bad move. And so I'm not putting any stock into Ezekiel Elliott this year. I think he could even decline. Biggest fan of him. I'm not. But moving on to our next player, we've got wide receiver Michael Thomas from the New Orleans Saints. You know, a very memeable player. A lot of people like to call him Slant Boy, and you know, a lot of people like to hate on him for what he does on Twitter. But people forget he was the best wide receiver in the year, or best wide receiver in the league 2 years ago, and had one of the best wide receiver seasons of all time. And yeah, he was injured a ton this year, but I think a lot of people are sleeping on him this year. Are you putting stock into Michael Thomas, or are you staying away?
This is a tough one because who's his quarterback? But at the same time, five games with Teddy B, remember, he did great.
Yeah.
He was great. So I'm going to put stock in it. Now, I'm trying to take my OSU bias aside again for this guy because he didn't win us a championship. But here's my thing. Michael Thomas, even when he played this year, he had, I think, two games over 100 yards, and then he had an 84-yard game against the Eagles. So he still was good. Obviously, he didn't have a touchdown during the year, but I believe he had one in the playoffs.
He did against the Bears.
Yeah.
So, I remember the slime cannons.
Yeah, yep, yeah. So, you know, he's fine. Like, you know, he's a good receiver. I don't get it. Like, you know, it's pretty ironic that people call him Slant Boy, yet he has the same yards per catch as DeAndre Hopkins. That's just how it is. Like, I'm just going to tell it how it is. So, you know, he obviously is not the biggest down the field threat in terms of that, but a really great, you know, well-rounded receiver. And I'm going to put stock in it for next year, because if you're a quarterback coming in for the New Orleans Saints, whoever it is, and Jack did a video on it, who's going to be the next Saints quarterback, we'll probably leave the link in the description as well. But, you know, if let's say it's Jameis Winston, a guy who likes to throw the ball downfield and a guy who needs that security blanket or has had that with Mike Evans, Michael Thomas is a perfect comparison, a perfect guy to, you know, fill that void for Jameis Winston. Whoever it is, whoever is the guy there, you have a number one in Michael Thomas. You have a quote unquote security blanket who's literally a god at catches. You know, he's basically a enhanced Jarvis Landry at catching the football in terms of receptions. He broke the record, so, you know, obviously he's good at it. So, you know, he's a very good security blanket for any quarterback that plays there. So I'm going to put stock in him. I'm not going to say he breaks any of his records that he had in 2019, but I'm going to definitely put some stock in him because I think he has a bounce back year.
Me too. I'm definitely investing in Michael Thomas because he's becoming very underrated. Like, he's becoming very underrated by the media, by people on Instagram and Twitter, and just everyone around the league. I think he's becoming very underrated. And I mean, it's kind of cliche, but there's no way it could be worse. There's no way he can go down from here.
Is he in your top five?
Oh, he's definitely a top. Like, it's, I think it's ignorant to not have him in your top five right now. I mean, I'd give my list. I think in no order, we'll put Thomas in there. I think Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, and Davante Adams.
Julio Jones,
I think I maybe put in above Hopkins. Hopkins at six feels mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe
top five to six for sure.
Maybe he gets put at six, but I think a lot of people are just forgetting that he was the best wide receiver in the league. And actually, no, you know, I'm going to put him in the top five going into this year. Just because we know what he is, and it's, people are quick to forget. Like, people are quick to forget that he set the receptions record and had, I think, like 1700 yards and
nine touchdowns.
Michael Thomas is going to bounce back. He's going to do, obviously he's going to be better than last year, but he's going to, I mean, it just seems weird to like think about him not getting at least like 1200 yards or, you know, 1100 yards.
If you're a quarterback there, you're going to throw for the Saints, and he's there. Like, he's a security blank. That's all I see from him. Like, even when we were watching the Saints with Drew Brees, obviously he had Alvin Kamara on those angle routes, but Michael Thomas too, there was a lot of times where he would just, in fact, I remember this one time they threw it to him and he didn't even get in the end zone, and they just threw it to him again on first and goal. You know, it was just like a short pass. Like, he's going to be your go-to guy. So it can't, hard for me to believe that he doesn't bounce back.
No, I agree. Our next player is another memeable player. You know, we got the Slant Boy, and now we got Blitz Boy, as many people like to call him. It's Jamal Adams, formerly of the New York Jets, now the Seattle Seahawks, who he had a good season in a way, but it wasn't really at his position. I mean, it was as a pass rusher, and somehow he got into the Pro Bowl after he did not have a good season, especially covering. He was really bad in coverage. But like, are you going to invest some stock in him? I'm going to start this one. I'm putting stock in Jamal Adams. Obviously, as a New York Jets fan, I kind of don't like him anymore. It's funny because he was one of my favorite players when he was with the Jets, but then everything that went down, it just made him hard to like anymore. But I just still remember watching him like every Sunday and just being absolutely amazed at how often I see him on every play. You look, oh, there's Jamal Adams right on the ball or doing something, like just every play. And yeah, with all the stuff that happened, the crazy turbulence of the offseason, he had to, you know, get traded. He dealt with injuries, just dealing with a lot. But he is one of the hardest workers in the league. I think he's going to fix a lot of his problems. He's going to get better in coverage. People forget when he was with the Jets, just absolutely menacing in coverage, even for tight ends. Like no tight end was safe when he was guarding them. And so I think he's going to improve in coverage a lot. And he's going to get better than he was last year. Hopefully he gets healthier. He's got now just, he's settled down where he is. No more drama going on with the New York Jets. He's going to be able to work over the entire offseason. So I definitely think he improves, and I'm putting a lot of stock into Jamal Adams. Maybe the most of all the players we've talked about so far.
You stole what I was going to say. I was going to put a lot of my stock in Jamal Adams. I would argue Michael Thomas a little bit more. I don't know. I think it's between those two. I'd say obviously those two the most of it. And here's why. Like you said, you know, he had a down year in coverage, but in terms of getting to the quarterback, it was one of the best seasons from a safety ever. I believe he had 8.5 sacks. So, you know, he was terrific. And he, again, keep in mind, he only played 12 games. So he was on pace for over 10 sacks for a DB. That's really good.
I mean, he set the DB sack record for a single season in 12 and a half games. And he almost said it the year before. Like, he was very close
exactly
a couple years ago.
So he's very good against the run. He's very good in, you know, covered sacks. So my thing is, obviously, can you change where he lines up on the field? Can you change his listed position? That doesn't really matter, right? What matters is, are you doing your job? And I think Jamal Adams did one part of it, because he was asked to cover a lot. And I think maybe, you know, new defensive schemes with the Seahawks, maybe that'll be a little bit different. I still believe Pete Carroll calls the plays, if I'm not mistaken, on defense. I'll have to look into it. But, you know, with this, with the new defensive scheme, or just how are you going to use Jamal Adams, will play a lot into how he plays next year. But I'm going to put stock into it just because, again, as a coverage guy, it can't get worse. Like, you know, he had no interceptions. He was getting burnt constantly. And, even especially down the field, he just wasn't good. So, like, you know, even running backs moving down the field, he wasn't even a good tackler there. That's going to improve. You know, trust me, like, you know, with Seahawks fans and with Bobby Wagner near you in terms of the box, like, you're just going to benefit. So I think Jamal Adams will be a lot better in coverage. Keep in mind, the secondary will also develop. These are all young guys that are getting better. The Seahawks also have another Pro Bowl safety with them. So, you know, it's just they will be fine. I think Jamal Adams will really help this defense grow, because keep in mind, when Carlos Dunlap got there, that was a huge boost for them as well. They were the best defense since Carlos Dunlap got there. Yeah. Best overall defense. So
and that's because he didn't have to rush the passer as much. I mean, getting Carlos Dunlap freed up Jamal Adams a lot.
Yep. Yep. So I think this is just another full year of that. And again, being able to utilize his strengths, less drama. Trust me, I don't know what it is, but NFL teams that are less brought out by the drama, less of the quote unquote hunted thing, trust me, it works. You know, obviously, you know, as a Browns fan, that kind of what I looked at for how the Browns could improve, just less media attention. I think that's just how it works. So, like, you know, for example, the Cardinals, I think with less media attention that they had last year, could be a sleeper team. But, you know, that's just, again, moving on from that, I think, you know, Jamal Adams definitely put some stock into him. He's going to be great for the Seahawks. And I think as a coverage guy, he will be as good as he is as a quote-unquote pass rusher / run stuffer.
Yeah, we promised five players. And our last one, Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know what to say. Like, I'm going to let you start it off, but – it's just hard because the Dolphins, I think they're going to be really good, but we don't know what to think about Tua. So, you know, I know you love the Dolphins, and so you may invest in him just based off that, but are you putting stock into Tua, or are you, you know, backing off?
This one's a really tough one. I think this is the toughest out of the five. And here's my thing. I was a believer in Tua. I didn't have him, you know, above Burrow. I also agreed with you that, you know, him and Herbert was more of the conversation, right? You know, who's kind of better, or like, I was skeptical on. A lot of people had Tua as the clear cut too, right? But I think there were some flash, like the Cardinals game was, you know, there were some flashes of him at least being able to be good. I think ever since that Miami kind of stinker, right, where they lost in Miami, that was the upset loss, just didn't play well down the stretch. He got benched in a couple games. And, you know, here's my thing. If you're the Dolphins, you have to make it clear this offseason, are you going with him? You have to make that clear. And, you know, there's still rumors of them going after Deshaun Watson. That's not going to make Tua better. That's not going to put confidence in your guy. Because keep in mind, Brian Flores was flip-flopping during games, during the biggest games as well. That is not what you need. But also, right, the last game that Tua played was the most important game of the year, and they got absolutely blitzed 56-26. So, you know, just unfortunate. But I think I'm going to stay away. However, I think he should start for them next year. If that, you know, so I'm going to stay away, meaning I'm not going to invest in him and say he's the future, the guy of the future, because I don't have enough yet, because I want to say it. But again, you know, I think it's kind of showing how short quarterbacks, there's a spectrum. You know, Tua is, you know, mobile in the pocket. He's very accurate, you know, in terms when he needs to, like his, when he hits a open field receiver, like he will hit them perfectly. But just there were times where also his accuracy sailed, and that's what you need to rely on if you're short. You need to rely on your down the field accuracy, and that, you know, like Kyler Murray's done well, Baker Mayfield's done well at least this year. Russell Wilson's one of the best at it down the field.
Drew Brees.
Tua's got to work on that. So
I mean, Drew Brees is the king of accuracy.
Yeah, Drew Brees. Yeah, completion percentage king. So Tua, you've got to work on that. I'm going to – so again, like I said, I'm going to stay away, but I think they should give him the keys for next year.
I agree. I think that give him one more year to prove himself, but I'm also going to stay away. I think it's tough because I do think Miami's going to be good. And if Tua's the starter, then like, obviously with a good record, that's some form of success.
Yep.
But yep. I mean, it's no secret. I was not a big fan of Tua coming out of college. I'm not a big fan of Alabama quarterbacks, especially him, just because I just knew what he's getting, the coaching he's getting from Saban and the players he's got with him in Alabama. I just didn't see a whole lot of improvement coming for him in the NFL.
Yep.
As well as, you know, the injury history, being a lefty, just a lot of things stacked up against him. I wasn't the biggest fan. Wasn't, you know, wowed by his arm talent, which is something that still happened in the NFL. And after seeing him play his rookie year, I was even less impressed. And just knowing that, we talked about this earlier in the episode, but confidence with the quarterback is key.
Yep.
And all these rumors coming out over the off season, and it seemed like they were sticking with him, and then it seemed like they were going with Watson, and it seemed like they were sticking to him, and now they're back in the
also
Watson
debate. Also
Fitzpatrick,
right? Like, what are they going to do with him? So.
And he's already been benched. I mean, that's the worst thing that can happen to a young quarterback is being benched like that. So a whole lot of uncertainty surrounding his off season, as well as I'm a whole lot of uncertainty and honestly disappointment with him. So I'm staying away, but I agree with you. They should go with him as a starting quarterback. If you're watching this later on YouTube, let us know down in the comment section, you know, what you think of these players, but also if we do another version of this in the future, what are some players you want us to react to? Who are you introducing to the stock market? But yeah, we want to know those couple things down in the comment section. But to kind of wrap up this podcast episode, obviously talking on these topics, it's really fun for us. You can go to our Instagram and our Twitter. Let us know some more topics that you want us to cover in future episodes. We'll try and involve you guys more and talk about the topics you want to talk about, like we did with the Vikings this time. But we really enjoy making this episode. Our YouTube link and our website link will also be in the description. You can go subscribe to our YouTube, get Twitter from our Twitter and website for more, you know, information and also, you know, what we do. But thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We've been the Cold Hard Truth, and we will see you next time.